So I'm going to try to explain one of the deep teachings of Nachman of Nosson. What the Omer? We all know the Omer. We count 49 days, and then the 50th day is Shuas. It's very interesting that we count the Omer. We just keep on counting. And what is this 49? And we find that number 50 in the Torah has a great significance, because we count 49, and the 50th was Shuas. This week's Parsha, we count 7 times 7, Shmita, and the 50th year is Yovel. Somehow the number 50 has a great significance. Mitzrayim, the word Mitzrayim means Meitzar Yom, the border of 50. Yam is 50, Meitzar Yom. So what does this all mean? So I'm going to try to explain this the best I can. It's one of these interesting things. See, the wisdom of Hashem is compared to the bright sun. So Pasuk in Tehillim, Pasuk in Mishle, that's in it. Of course, we know we have no idea who God is. We only know what He's not. We never know what He is. But because we have no comparison. But the wisdom that there is in this universe is literally mind-boggling. We could live another billion years and not to get to the scratch what goes on in the wisdom, how we function and how we live and how the world was created. And going back to the Big Bang, it's just amazing. It's just one of those amazing thing in physics. It's just mind-boggling. So our mind has a very hard time to look at the sun. Just like physically, when you look at the sun, it's much, much too bright to look at the sun. It burns you, makes you blind. So too, it's very difficult to look at the wisdom and you'll be blinded. That's why it is one of the most amazing things that people could go around thinking that this world was done by itself. You know, if someone should have told you, you know, this Aron HaKodesh right here, now how was after a trillion years, we found something that looks just like this. Let's say it's cuckoo. Or someone should say that clock up there on the wall, you know where we found that clock? You know, we dug in the backyard and we found it. But also say, this is strange. I mean, you know that clock is not as complex as one of your cells. You know that. I mean, I'm sure you heard about that. How the cells communicate and how you see and how you interpret your sight and how these things work, how we get connected and how we get disconnected. It's unbelievable. But the reason why people go walk around thinking this way is because the light is much too bright in them to be able to comprehend. You know, there's a famous story with the Rambam. A legend goes, the Rambam was asked to debate the atheists. There were the atheists then too. The Rambam didn't want to debate them. Then he had, there was nothing to debate with them. But he was pushed because he was working for the Sultan, and they convinced the Sultan they wanted to have a debate. So the Rambam said he'll have a debate in one of the chambers in the Sultan's room, because there was a stunning painting. And when they came into the room and they started to discuss the beautiful painting. So the Rambam said, "Do you know who made this painting?" He says, "One of the children, Sultan, came just splashed all over the... You can have a horse with a meadow and water and trees just by... Oh, that cannot be done, but the original horse and the original meadow, that can be done," and that was the end of the debate. I mean, it is, if you think about it, if someone should tell you that I painted a picture of an, I found the picture under the ground that was over a trillion years, and out came a picture of a horse, what are you talking about? But the original horse, which is a million times more intricate, much more complex, is that sometimes people doubt. because of the light, which is so powerful, it comes down, we have a hard time accepting it. See, we are from the British gave the human the intellect. So we have to bring this light in Madregas, levels of levels. That's why it's called Nun Shara Bina. You heard that expression ever? There's 50 gates of understanding. And 49 Moshe Beni got, and Hashem did not let him get the 50th, but a little of the 50th he did get. A tiny bit. When Mashiach comes, the 50th gate of it also opened up. But the truth is, Moshe Beni got all 49, and the 50th, he only got a drop, because that's the Nun Shara Bina. But what the Rizal explains is that we have to be Mitzamtzem. Mitzamtzem means constrict ourselves and let the light of Hashem come to us. And we need, and by counting Sfira, the mitzvah Sfira, we don't do much. We're doing the mitzvah Sfira. It helps a person to able to let the light of the Torah, to let the light settle on him, and to chase out all the silliness that we have. You know, the Chazal say like this, whenever we do a sin, Einu dem Chayta, Eilike Nechnes Boi Ruach Shtus. You know, I always tell people, this world is not a perfect world. Everyone, in Yiddish it comes out very well, everyone has a Meshigas. Everyone has a little crazy. But someone that's nuts has one too many Meshigas. You know, we all have our things where we struggle. That means every person, if we do sin, we did something wrong, there's a Ruach Shtus in us. And we have to try to get out the Ruach Shtus. And the only way to get out this Ruach Shtus is to absorb the wisdom of the Torah into ourselves. The more Torah you learn, the more wisdom you bring into yourself, the more you create a vessel that the light should be there and push out all our mishigasim. See, if you really think about it, you know, if you're very honest with ourselves, if a person does even the slightest sin, it's really silliness. You know, it's really, really, really silly, because there's nothing in a sin that a guy would say is so great, it was so good the sin. And a sin is a foolishness that you think, like, you know, you speak Lashon Hara, you ate maybe not something so kosher. It's a silliness, really, which blocks the mind. So when a person learns Torah, he brings wisdom into himself. That's the chokhmah goes into the person. It takes literally wisdom into himself. That chokhmah, but it takes into himself, it slowly pushes out the silliness that we all have. And we zoicha to the Nin Shara Bina, zoicha to the different gates of understanding. So, to understand what this means a little bit, you know that as a Jewish person, we worship Hashem. Worshipping Hashem means we take upon ourselves the yoke to do what we need to be doing. You know, if you are working for someone and you're devoted, you do a good job. You're not interested in cutting corners. But there is an amazing thing in us, I explained this a few weeks ago, it's called the Pagam Hamalchus. We love to cut corners. You ever noticed how most people, I imagine, here keeps kosher. But, you know, the Yetzer Hara tells you, does it really need Hashgacha? Come on. Everything needs Hashgacha. You know, most people over here, I guarantee if you're married, you keep passing the Mishpacha. The Yetzer Hara says, you mean I can't even give her a hug? I can't even touch her? My wife, you know, the Yetzer Hara never tells a person to violate something big. Kotkon, I have children owned their own business. I asked one of my daughters, she has many workers. So I asked her, you know, these are from, she has a lot of from women working for her. And she said to me, they also cut corners. No one's going to come and say, I worked an hour more. No, no, no. You know, it's 55 minutes. I worked an hour. You know what I mean? They cut corners here, cut corners here. We have a tendency to cut corners. That's a sign in us that the Malchus is not complete. And counting the Sfira, it's called the Tikkun HaMalchus. That's what the Rizal explained. We slowly amasakin the Malchus. The more you push yourself, the more you tell yourself, I want to do a good job. I want to do a good job. I'm going to follow every detail. See, in the 40, let me tell you something very, very, very powerful. There's 49 days till Shavuos that we count. This week's Parsha is also 49 years we count till the Shemitah. It's interesting. It's the only time the Torah has these two 49 things. Here we count for the Yovel, and here we count for Shavuos, for the Yom Tov. There's 49. This week's Parsha. Next year is going to be Shemitah. But we count 7 times 7 and the 50th year. So, there's two things. There's two very, very, very important things. One thing is, we count, as I explained to you, the Mesakin, the Malchus, to able to take the wisdom of Hashem into ourselves. We need Kalim, that is, spiritual vessels to take the wisdom of Hashem into us. Because the wisdom of Hashem is mind-boggling. If you think about it, they took a picture of the satellite from Saturn looking at Earth. We are almost invisible from there. Imagine. And this is our neighborhood, this is our neighbor, the Saturn. We are literally invisible from there. We are the vastness of Hashem and how He created the world, it's mind-boggling. Every detail. We have fingernails. Many animals have nails. Each one has a different type of a nail for exactly what they were created. Wasn't Hashem just said, I'm creating humans, they should have nails, the bear should have nails, the cat should have nails, and the lion should have nails, and there's an incredible exactly why this animal has to have this way. And you're also, the way you're created is also, there's a reason. And there's wisdom in all of this. Incredible, deep, 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 deep. Such wisdom that we don't even begin to scratch. All our wisdom in the entire world collectively is nothing. Nothing to compare to the wisdom of Hashem. It's a joke. The vastness of the universe. This is too high, too bright the light to take in. Slowly, but the Spirit helps us to take some light into ourselves. But there's another very important thing. The important thing is that we count the 49 years. I explained this in another class. Try to picture all of you over here. Someone should tell you that the salary that you're earning this year has to last for you for the next 3 years. You say, what? I barely make ends meet with this year's salary. I'm going to have for 3 years. You know what Shemitah was? Shemitah was that the 6 years crop is got to last for the seventh, for the eighth, and the ninth. Because, the seventh you didn't plant. So the beginning of the eighth you have to plant till you're going to get for 3 years. And it was Yovel for 4 years. Do you know how much faith you need to have that? Not just faith, betochen, relying totally on Hashem. See, when a person relies on Hashem very much, you become much, much closer. The closeness of us to Hashem is the betochen that we have. There's also like 49 and 50th, which is Yovel. But it's also the munah, that Nachman explains in the Kitor, the munah gives strength for the malchus. Do you notice in a munah there's a nun? Munah has a nun, omein has a nun, and the nun. In translation in Hebrew, in Tehillim, Meshemesh Yin and Shemoy, the Nun represents the Malchus. That we should take into ourselves the Malchus to do the job correctly. This is a big challenge. See, we are religious over here. All of us, Baruch Hashem. But the challenge to do every day the right thing, that is so challenging. That becomes the counting of the Sfira is supposed to help us develop in every sphere of the Malchus, slowly we should be able to bring the wisdom of Hashem. And what it does to us, it chases out the silliness. Because we all are a little bit cuckoo. A little bit. This is, we have to, because the fact we do things wrong. the wisdom of Hashem, by learning the Torah, slowly pushes away all this nonsense out of a person. And that gives a person a very interesting thing that Reb Nachman explains. The Zohar says, every molecule, every atom in this world exists with the Chochmah of Hashem. A Chochmah techaya is baleyu. You know what that means? The wisdom gives life for the thing that exists. This table exists. This plastic over here exists. You know how it exists? It Rabbeinu Shloim sort of send wisdom, the wisdom of the thing, how the molecules work and how they get connected and how they are one piece. That's the life of it. The wisdom that Hashem put into it is the life of it. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. I mean, it's not just Hashem made it, you know, we understand in a simple way. Hashem makes the world stand. This thing, the way it works and how the earth works and how the sun works, and is the wisdom that Hashem put into it. That wisdom makes the whole thing work. So the more wisdom we take into ourselves, the more life we have. You ever notice when you learn something very, you know, lightening up you, wow, you feel full of life. So now you're living. Because wisdom gives life to the person. And the special holy wisdom, especially the Torah wisdom, literally it like gives you, that's why ches, the letter ches means life. And the nun represents chokhmah. When you put the two things together, there's a chen, there's a charm, there's a favor, there's a chen over there. It's because when the chokhmah gets together with the malchus, we take upon ourselves the malchus shemayim, so the ches and the nun gets together, so that's chen, so that makes this incredible charm that a person has. So this, the together, that's how it works. That's why it says, "Noyach mutzah chen, noyach am chen." Noyach and chen is the same letters, just backwards. Noyach and chen, because the noyach's power was that he took the wisdom into himself. See, it's a huge challenge. And because, you know why? Because it is amazing. Let me start the other way around. It's super amazing that we are here living in a country and a place with such tumah, and we exist with true holiness in our midst. We keep the Torah, we daven, we count sfira, we eat kosher. The challenge that we have is not to let us cut corners. See, it's not so hard for many people to be religious. Everything is challenging. But generally speaking, to be religious is not so hard. The challenge is not to cut corners. Isn't that amazing? Many people come from backgrounds with no religion. It's amazing how they could just pick up the religion. But what the challenge is afterwards is to make sure, not talking about chumras, but just keeping the aloha. And after, you know, saying, after daven every day, after daven mincha every day, after daven marv every day, after count sfira every day, that's a sign of the malchus not being complete. And the sfira helps us to develop malchus and helps us take the light into ourselves. So, Rav Nachman says a very, very, very powerful thing. He says, there are two very, very powerful things. He says like this, in every person, Hashem sends them continuously messages, come close to me. It's very, very, very important. We have the picture, God is sitting up there. He says, you want to get close to me? Okay, get close to me. I'm helping you. Hashem is waiting and longing we should get close to Him. It's not like sometimes, you know, I once found a guy told me he wanted to call someone up just to apologize. And he didn't do such a terrible thing. You know, he got into an argument, he raised his voice. He says, I was terrified to call him up, he might hang up the phone. So I said, so he hangs up the phone. But you have to do yours. Yeah, but finally he did it. And that's what hit me. You're afraid to pick up the phone, call someone, he might reject you. You know that a bunch of them, when you call up Hashem, Hashem says, I was waiting for this phone call. I'm waiting for you to call me up. I'm waiting you to come home. In Shir HaShirim, there's a very powerful pasuk. The pasuk goes like this. But the pasuk says, it gives a marshal in Shir HaShirim. It says, a guy is, Ani Yishena, I am asleep, the Libi Eir, and my heart is awake. So Chazal say, what does it mean, I'm asleep? We are sleeping away our life. You know, you ask yourself sometimes, what am I doing with my life? You know, sometimes we waste so much time. Ani Yishena, the Libi, but who is the Libi? It's the Shechina. And listen to the position. Koil doidi, the voice of my lover, doifik is knocking, and he says, pischili. So the mashal, imagine your lover is standing behind the door and knocking, pischili achoisi, my sister, rayusi, my best friend, tamusi. Klal Yisrael is called tamusi, we're like the twin to Hashem. Or Tamusi, completely, Hamusi, Tamusi, Rayusi, and open the door. And he's begging there, Sheroisho Nimne told. You know why? My hair is full of dew. Because Soiso is Siso Loilo, and the hairs that I have is wet from the rain. Imagine, try to picture to yourself, you have a friend you haven't seen many years, and he's knocking on your door, middle, at the beginning of the night. He says, please let me in, I'm stuck over here. So you answer him, Pashanti Esketonti, I took off my shirt, Echlal Bishanu, I should get dressed. I'm in PJs already, I should get dressed and open the door. I am in PJs. The Chatzti Esraglai, I washed my legs. Those days used to, night before you went to sleep, wash your leg. I washed my leg. Chatzti Echatanta, I get it dirty now again. How could I do that? I mean, it's really frightening. He's waiting there, and he's begging, open the door, and he says, you know, I'm in bed already. I'm not going to get up. It's amazing because a far acquaintance will knock on the door. You'll open the door. But the mashal is that the Ribbono Shel Olam continuously sends messages to us. It's not that Hashem gave up on us. And he's sitting there, and okay, you know what? You know, people get into a relationship problem. You know, you don't want me, I don't want you. You know, you didn't call me, so I'm not going to call you. You know, that doesn't work by Hashem that way. He's after us all the time. And he continuously sends messengers all the time. So the Nachman says he sends messages, but Dibber, the Masa Ibehira. Sometimes thoughts come into your mind out of nowhere and tells you, know, what am I doing? He says, grab that thought and hold on to it. Sometimes someone tells you something. I had this a week ago. Someone told me something. He didn't know what he was saying, but it was so important for me to hear that, especially to tell it to someone else. I was just amazed. Just amazed. I'll even share it with you. Sometimes you hear something, a guy said over a word from Shamron. I don't know if he understood the word, the young guy. But let me tell you what the word is, and I helped the guy very, very much. Someone told me he went through a lot of trauma. Went through a lot of trauma as a young child. And he says, you know, I'm starting to work now, and I'm not successful. So in the Torah, it says, Ish Matzliach. Do you know what it says in the Torah? Who does the Torah call Ish Matzliach, a successful person? Only time in the Torah it says Ish Matzliach. He was an incredible successful person. So then Yosef. Do you know that Yosef lost his mother when he was 8 years old? Anyone losing a parent as a young child is trauma. Anyone who knows that is trauma. Not only he lost his mother, his brothers hated him as a young teenager. They were dead jealous of him. That's also traumatizing. They all ganged up on him. Next is they literally wanted to kill him. They said to him, "We're going to kill you. We don't want you." So you know what they said? In the last minute, they threw him into a pit. So when I was young, I always say, "Oh, this thought." I thought that Yosef was a tzaddik, was thrown in the pit of snakes and scorpions. He, you know, it's a high snake, high scorpion. And I'm a young child, I think might ever said in Cheder that way. But the Medrash says, no. You know, the Medrash says that when they took Yosef out of the pit, they sold him for 20 shkolim. So the Medrash says, 20 shkolim for such a good-looking young man? The Medrash says he came out, he looked so terrible from the fright of the snakes and scorpion, no one to pay any money for him. This is trauma. Then he's finally sold into Mitzrayim. Do you know who bought him? Potiphar. Do you know why he bought him? He was one of the people in San Francisco. He needed it for himself. And Chazal said that Hashem made him impotent. I don't know exactly what happened, but he bought him for him, and this was also trauma. Finally, that gets off, and the lady, Ashes Potiphar, starts up with him. Relentlessly, any novel that any person tries to write and fantasizes novel, she had it. She tried to get him to sin. And finally, she couldn't get him. It was traumatizing for him. You know, he was fighting Yetzer Hara. And this was terrible trauma for him. Finally, she can't get away. She screams, "Rapist!" And they take him and arrest him. He knows he did nothing. They put him to jail. You know, not an American jail. I once went to visit American jail, more than once. You know, they have exercise rights and they have air rights. They went into the pit. It's a pit in the ground. And Yosef comes out. He comes out of the pit when it comes to Paro. You know how he talks like? He has a degree in MBA in economics and farming. He talks like Paro looks at him, this guy, I don't know what he did in jail. He must have got a degree. And he makes him the Ish Masliach. So you see, no matter how much trauma a person could go through, then he could be a Matzliach. Do you know why he could be Matzliach? It says in the Pusik. Ish Matzliach, Hashem Imo. He walked with God all the time. The trick of Yosef was, in all his terrible situation, the trauma, the darkness, he carried Hashem with him. See, what we do in life is we don't carry Hashem with us. Yosef Mamish, what the Medrash also said, interesting, what kept his sanity, that was always happy. But I just want to explain something, coming back, that the Ribbono Nishlan sends messages all the time to you. Sometimes thoughts, sometimes you hear something, sometimes out of the blue someone does something, and that is a wake up call. Sometimes we ignore it, like a Shira Shira. The lover is knocking on the door and let me in. He says, you know, I'm in PJs, I'm in bed, I can't get up. And then the pussy says, finally I do get up. But he left already. Yudah Shuluch Melachor, he put the hand through and he left. How long is he going to wait? So the Ribbono Shel Olam, Rav Nachman says, sends message, we have to pay attention all the time. See, Hashem wants you. He doesn't let go of you. You are wanted by Hashem. And so this is what the Sfira is. The Sfira is to help us see this. Let me come to help us see, yes, Hashem wants me. I've got to push myself, overcome the my things that hold me back in life, and do what I need to do. Yes, the Zohar says, the more a person is Shomer HaBrit, the more successful he'll be. Yosef was Shomer HaBrit, that's why he was Ish Masliach. But also, if a person is close to Hashem, has his faith in Hashem, and will be Ish Masliach, That is true, but because the Zohar says a person showing Marabris is a Ish Matzliach. Yes.
Can you apply the principle of Chalvei Zaytik to Shidduchim? That when the Shidduchim is read, first they have to happen rhyme, and after happen rhyme, then there's an opportunity.
Well, everything in life could be trained, but that it's not just not always not every call of a shidduch is the right call. Yes, so it's hard to say that. But over here, we're just saying that this kol doidi, as Rav Nachman says, applies to every person in the situation. See, what we often think to ourselves, it doesn't apply to me. I'm sure some of you think that the rabbi would know what I'm going through. He don't think it applies to me. It applies to every one of us in every situation, where the voice of Hashem comes in different ways, comes into thoughts, comes into someone says something to you. See, there's nothing that happens. Nothing happened by mistake. Everything is by what you heard, what you did, who you met. And that's really when we count the sphere, Nachman says, and Kitaloch explains it, is part of the counting sphere is to learn how to tune into Hashem's song, as we say. Because He does, and we should be able to find the signs. You know, young people text to each other, flirt with each other, unfortunately, sometimes the wrong way. But imagine Hashem is flirting with you all day long. Send you a message. Hi. I haven't heard from you all day. So how do we answer Hashem's hi? We say a bracha. You say every time you make a bracha, you get connected to Hashem. But Hashem continuously sends, wants us to get close to Him. And the sphere, Kita Locha is explained, the counting the sphere slowly helps us. Yes, the Shavuos is coming. You got to know you are wanted. Often we think, me, what I did already, the Rebbeinu Shalom, see, we are comparing something silly because the greatness of Hashem is unbelievable. Awesome. To give a mushroom, I would think to myself, the people are arrogant. Okay, so I, when I was young, I used to think a mushroom like this. There's a 10-story building. Right next to it is the Empire State Building, which is 100 stories. This is 10 stories. Empire State looks down at the guy and he says, I am 100 stories tall. Who are you? But if we look from space down, the 100 stories and the 10 stories are the same. You can't tell. You both are invisible. In Hashem's eyes, everything is, you think I am a big sinner, not such a big sinner, small sinner. It doesn't mean anything in reality. The reality is, by Hashem is so, so big. He wants you. He wants every one of us, and every one of us is important. So you got to tell yourself all the time, you are truly wanted. And this is what the Sphere is supposed to do for us. Counting the Sphere is supposed to bring Kelim, it's called, into ourselves to be able to hear and listen, to tune into Hashem's songs. If someone flirts with you and he got the wrong number, so that's trouble. I don't know. We got to pick up the right number. We have to be tuned in to Hashem. Then he says another very profound thing. There's nin malchus de kedusha, and we have a cloud zeh leumazeh. You know what that means. Whatever is great in kedusha, and the opposite is great tumah. Chazal say the Moshe Ben was the highest in cloud Yisrael. So lekom kemoshe oid, but in badegoy in Bilam and tumah was parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu. That means whatever there's kedusha. And Chassidim, we explain it, the bigger the fruit, the thicker the peel is. A watermelon has a much thicker peel. It's a big fruit, has a much bigger peel. Sometimes the bigger the kedusha, the bigger peel, the bigger the clip is, the shells are there. So Reb Nachman explains part of the greatness of Torah, the more Torah you bring into yourself, the more you push out the Koyach HaTumah. Because we, unfortunately, we have Tumah in ourselves. It started from Adam HaRishon, when he sinned. But the end is, we will have a tikkun. By the more, every word of Torah that you learn today, every ounce of Torah, every kiddush you take into yourself, every bracha you make, every blessing you make, the special Torah that you learn, you're slowly shedding off the Tumah from you. And not just Tumah, you're becoming wiser. You're making room that your mind should open up, should be able to see the greatness of Hashem, the wisdom of Hashem. Which it is, you know, it is to me always astounding that we could watch life go and not see, wow! I still wonder, how come we don't fall off the globe? I remember when I was 12 years old, I was taught that, you know, there's people living on all the ways in China. I remember for a week, I just didn't understand this. This was just, how does that work? And we don't know exactly. I don't know if you know about a little bit of physics. That was the dispute of Newton and Einstein, exactly how gravity works. I'm not going to go into the physics now. You know, one day someone's going to disprove Einstein's theory, but it's amazing. It's just amazing.
How does one, you know, you talk about how every bracha, every bit of Torah that we bring in takes the tumah out. When you're consciously doing that, because you know you're doing the process of cleansing, that's when the yetzer begins to strengthen against you.
It's always that way. When you want to go this way, always, but that is the challenge of life. See, to answer his question, we came down to this world for a challenge. See, if we would do everything naturally right, we don't deserve anything. Imagine naturally, you just get out of bed and say, Hashem, I love you, I miss you. Just naturally. And naturally, you would make a bracha with kavana. And naturally, anything that is not 100% kosher, I just can't even put it into my mouth. That, there was, you know, we came down to fight the Yetzer Hara. We get schar merit for fighting the Yetzer Hara. So the more you want to go to Kedusha, he's fighting us. He never sleeps. You remember that. Our biggest challenge in life is the Yetzer Hara never sleeps. He's always awake and always trying to get to us. The Medrash says a very cute marshal about the Yetzer Hara. The Medrash says there was an Amoida, got the name over there, I think Rabba, says that I was watching, and he gives a marshal who the Yetzer Hara, I was watching a certain type of a dog who's very clever. What did he do? He went to the baker. He was selling his baking goods outside of the stand. He laid down the dog and acted that he was asleep. And with one eye a little bit watching the baker, when he noticed the baker dozed off, he jumped, grabbed a piece of bread, and away he ran already. So the Medrash says, that's what Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara acts like he's sleeping. And as soon as you fall asleep, boom, he barks and he steals it. See, we walk around thinking, I don't have a Yetzer Hara. I don't have a Yetzer Hara, I don't have a Yetzer Hara. Well, many people think that way. Many people walk around think that, you know, I could go to a mixed wedding and I could go, I don't have such a Yetzer Hara, I could do it. We're not realizing that's the power of the Yetzer Hara. I once explained it when I finally figured out football, so I said, I now understand how the Yetzer Hara works. See, let me explain this. Imagine a guy tells you, I carried the ball from one end zone to the other end zone. Yeah, I got a touchdown. Who was on the field? No one. Now, let's have, I think it's 13 players, 300 pounders, 6-footers, charging. Let's see how far you're going to carry the ball. Now, normally the game is even. They wear one type of a jersey, they wear another type of jersey. So we know who is our teammates now. Imagine the other team put on the colors that your team have. One of them cheated. That's a real cheating.
That's what the Yetzer
Hara does. He puts on the wrong jersey and he tells you it's a mitzvah. He tells you this is not just an aveda, it's a mitzvah to do this. It's a mitzvah to be there, hang out there, to do this aveda. You know, it's not such a aveda, it's a mitzvah, you know, Shem Shemayim. You know, he, it's incredible. And this is our challenge in life. We're here to fight it. And it's not easy. It's not, it's a daily fight that we have. And what Rav Nachman is teaching us, the more Torah you take into yourself, the more tools you give yourself to fight the Yetzer Hara. And he explains that the Kita Lochas explained that's the Sfiris that we count. We count the Sfiris that gives us tools to let the Torah sit in our heart and to be with us, to stay with us, you know, help us fight the Yetzer Hara. See, there is no way out. You know, often we think to ourselves, you know what? I wish I could go to sleep in 3 days, be in a bubble, not to deal with the Yetzer Hara. We are here, as long as we live, we have a challenge of the Yetzer Hara. And we got to push ourselves. That's why Rav Nachman said, if you want to do something for yourself, the most powerful thing in the world is take time for yourself and talk to Hashem and meditate. There is nothing as powerful as that. You know why? It also makes you alert. What am I doing with my life? See, most people, life is a run-on sentence. One day into another day, the pressure of the job, pressure of raising children, paying the bills. They'll sit down. What am I doing wrong? How can I do things better? How can my shalom bayis be better? How could my business even work better? I had once, many years ago, I spoke here in Pico Robinson, many years ago, this was about 10 years ago. And there was a lady there, she was listening, and 2 years later she calls me up, and she tells me that because I started to meditate, she was able to launch a business. She was very successful afterwards. So I said, what did I have to do? She says, the fact was that I never had time to think what I'm doing. I had a great product. She came up with the software. Never knew how to finally do it. Just by meditating a half hour a day, it gave her time to think. And the truth is, it gives you, we are living. Listen, tomorrow is going to be a day, hopefully we're all going to be alive. How do you want to spend the day tomorrow? You want to feel, great, I lived the day. Or at the end of the day, you want to say to yourself, what a lousy day. If today was a lousy day, you know whose fault that was? Your own. I know we love to blame the whole world. Even the nice weather in LA we could blame. But the truth is, if you meditate, you realize your life is your life. You have to do with your life what you can do. And the most important thing is to have a relationship with Hashem. And remember, Hashem every day sends messages to you. He flirts with you every day. I haven't heard from you. Where are you? Why are you hiding from me? Are you angry with me? I mean, young people who have silly ways of texting. That Hashem really, this is not just the guzma. This is the real. He wants every dozen. This is very important to remember. That people think, what I have gone through, what I have done. But Hashem is endless big. This is nonsense. Big, small. Small and big is Empire State Building here. But when you're looking from the space, both are nothing. So Hashem wants every one of us. Come back to me.
What if our way of coming back is to the emotion that we connect to most at the time that we want to speak to Hashem is anger? What happens then?
Well, the more you meditate, the easier you let go of your anger. That's very powerful. One of the ways you get rid of anger is you talk to Hashem, slowly you notice your anger ebbs away. And I tell myself, how in the world should I waste my life in arm anger? You know, people are angry, really, it zaps their energy. And there's no one who doesn't have anger in themselves. There's no one here in the room that was not taken advantage or was not hurt. Every one of us has anger. Every one of us was hurt. The trick in life is tell yourself, it's not worth it. It's really not worth it. And me being angry at them is not, they're not going to be punished by me being angry at them. Many people think that if I'll be angry at them, someone showed me that Dr. Tversky, one of his book, writes, is like eating poison and hopefully the other person is going to die. He says in his book. We think, if we walk around angry, he says, it's like you think you're going to eat poison and hurt the other person. You're only hurting yourself. Walking around with anger only hurts yourself. But you are hurt, so how does it help? The more you talk to Hashem, the more you realize everything is from Hashem. The person hurt me, he was the one who was the shliach. He was the stick. But I deserve the patch.
I didn't mean so much walking around with anger. I meant in that meditation time with God where you're talking to God, as Rabbi often talks about, to say, I'm angry, I'm dealing with this.
That's good. You could start with that, and then you end up thanking Hashem, and then you say to Hashem, here I am in this world, and I don't know how to love you. I don't know how to be close to you. I would wish that I could wake up and just long and want you and desire you. You know, that's what meditation helps. So I hope all of you, 20 minutes a day, start. I always tell myself, and I say it all the time, we are blessed. We are living better than King Solomon. Let me tell you a big secret. King Solomon did not come here with a car. So he had four horses running. You know, he didn't have, you know, shock absorbers. So you can imagine the wagon was shaking. We have air conditioning in the car. We have a 15-band music playing, whatever music you want. We have unbelievable. One of the great things we have in life is we have time. We really do have time. Take time for yourself just to meditate. Okay.